story like the Corey May story is why you become a journalist. Probably the most rewarding thing I think I'll ever do. It's good. I mean, the platform is huge. I have 500,000 to nearly 2 million people will read an article, depending on sort of how much it's promoted or whether it makes the front page or not. A story like the Corey May story is why you become a journalist. Probably the most rewarding thing I think I'll ever do. And, you know, seeing him home with his kids at that homecoming was amazing. He was such, you know, a great father by all accounts. And then he's pulled away from them for 10 years and then gets reunited. And it was just, it was pretty awesome.
Senior editor of Reason magazine, Radley Balco, claims Haynes' testimony about his findings often falls in line with what the prosecution is trying to prove.
Dr. Haynes is the medical examiner who did 80-90% of the autopsies in Mississippi for about 20 years. And he's since been fired from and prevented from doing any more, but he still testifies down there. There are all these cases still in Mississippi with involving Dr. Haynes where you have people who were convicted almost exclusively because of his testimony or that of his sidekick, Dr. West. And, you know, a significant chunk of those people are innocent. I mean, I think with the Occupy Wall Street people, I think I probably agree with them on most of the problems. I think they've diagnosed a lot of problems correctly, but I think it's, you know, the solutions where we differ. The occupiers are using social media and cell phones to actually document police abuse. And I think that's really kind of a powerful story to come out of this and sort of the Arab Spring also, which is the technology has really empowered citizens to keep government, you know, transparent and accountable in a way, you know, like never before in human history. The purpose for the Nashville blog is kind of an opportunity to do some cultural writing, some music writing, brothers, country, gospel, soul, jazz, blues, rock, and there's a really sort of thriving scene here. I mean, some of the best musicians in the world live here now. You know, it's a great town. There's still kind of the moral kind of conservatism. There's also kind of a big city liberalism. And you see it in really sort of interesting ways. I mean, there's one of my favorite examples is there's Church Street, you know, which runs right through the city. And in one part of the city, that's where a lot of the big churches in town are. Then you go a little farther down and you've got the Hustler stores right off of Church Street. And then you go a little farther down and you've got Nashville's sort of gay district is also on Church Street. In Tennessee, you have this alcohol control board. It's funded by the fines that they levy on bars. If you're sitting on this alcohol control board, the incentive then is to hand out all of these sort of low-level fines, but to, you know, sort of turn your head when there are these really serious, you know, infractions where that are, you know, possibly actually dangerous, because, you know, every bar that loses its license is one less paying customer for you. So it's really, you couldn't design a system with worse incentives if you sort of sat down and tried. There's a taco place called Taco Mamacita right up the road here, and they were having this huge fight with the local government over their liquor license. All they wanted to do was serve light beers that, you know, it took so long to get the license to serve the beer, they just went to the state and got a liquor license. So, you know, instead of serving these light, low alcohol content beers, they get in this bureaucratic hassle and now they're just serving liquor instead.